You are listening to a Grace River Church message from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41, titled, Boldly Witnessing the Gospel.
Let me start today with some simple song lyrics that have really hit me over the last few weeks. We have heard and we have seen, Jesus is now our risen King. We have been given a gift from above, a message to tell of God's great love. We must go now. We have been sent out, filled with God's power, His Spirit now within us. To tell about Jesus, we'll go to the ends of the world. This is where the mission begins. You know, those are lyrics that our children have been singing downstairs while we're up here talking about the book of Acts, and lyrics that many of them have been listening to in their homes this week. I think we could sing those words. Filled with God's power, His Spirit now within us. This is where the mission begins, to tell about Jesus. That's exactly what we've been reading in the book of Acts in chapter 2. The promise, the great gift of God, the Holy Spirit has come to fill God's people and to enable this tiny band of Jesus followers to boldly speak God's mighty acts. The mission of Christ Church surely has begun. Today, maybe you know that this is a mission from Jesus Christ for every single believer, but you're not sure how you actually can do it. You want to tell about Jesus, but you don't even know where to start sometimes. What if I mess it up? What if I say the wrong words? What if I can't answer their questions? What if they don't even listen to me? Or worse, what if they listen to me and throw this message right back in my face? What if I offend somebody? And we're left to cry, help. God, help me. And the good news today, as we continue in the book of Acts, is there is help. Even specifically, there is the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, who has come to fill Jesus' people so that they can fulfill Jesus' mission for His church. Today, as we look into the evidence and the effects and the explanation of the Holy Spirit's coming, I think there's a whole lot for all of us to learn from Peter's witnessing of the gospel that we can use in our everyday lives to also boldly witness to people around us the truth of Jesus Christ. So let's come and pray. Dear Father in heaven, today we want to know your Son all the more, our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray today that you would speak to us clearly and carefully, lovingly, and truthfully. Lord, these words on this page were written by your Spirit through mere men. Today, by your same Spirit, would you speak these words through this simple man? And would you open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word? We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are in Acts 2. This was our big idea last week. God, the Holy Spirit, is given to indwell and to fill every believer in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit has come so that we can be saved in Jesus Christ, that we can be sealed with Jesus Christ, we can be sanctified in Jesus Christ, and we can become bold sharers of Jesus' gospel. Last time we looked at the amazing and clear evidence of the Holy Spirit's coming. That was in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Today we're going to finish some of the effect and then get into Peter's explanation in verses 14 through 41. There's so much in this wonderful chapter to read that we will have to go quickly and relatively speaking, and I call you to look for our Bible study video this week where it goes verse by verse, and it'll have a lot more detail for us there. But if you have your Bibles, let's start in verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." We read that last week, and there's some important highlights that we still need to get to before moving on. So here we go. "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." God has clearly shown up as he promised, and the result of that, the effect, is that these 120 disciples, men and women, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they speak by the Holy Spirit. There is Spirit-given utterance. These men and women who are now permanently filled with the Holy Spirit, who is going to be leading them to build Christ's church, transform them into the holiness of Jesus Christ. And here, the Holy Spirit, he's doing another thing. He's equipping them to powerfully fulfill the very mission that the Messiah Jesus gave them. These disciples are going to do some amazing things by the Holy Spirit. They are going to radically love and care for each other and people outside their community. Miracles are going to happen through this group. But the amazing thing that's happening right here, and what the bulk of their ministry is going to be, is witnessing about the gospel with their mouths. The bulk of their ministry and the bulk of our ministry is a verbal ministry. It's a proclamation to share the truth of Jesus Christ. And so at the beginning of this ministry, as the church begins, they are empowered to speak. God enables them to bear testimony of the exalted Christ. Not only to speak in these other languages, but to speak at all, to connect the dots of the gospel, to make sense out of this, to stand up and desire to proclaim this to a crowd that could stone them. The Holy Spirit's filling here resulted in this desire and ability to speak for God, to be a prophet. What is happening here is a miracle of speech. It's a miracle that these 120 people stand up to praise and speak forth the truth of God in front of these people. These people, again, who could ridicule them, who could attack them, who could kill them. It's a miracle that they are all prophesying. All of them have been supernaturally enabled to speak forth the mysteries of God. Far too often we think prophecy, and too many YouTubers today think prophecy means telling what God's going to do next week or next month, or how 2020 and 21 are going to be this awesome banner year. I heard that again and again from so many YouTube prophets. Prophecy across the Bible very often means speaking forth the things of God, calling people to repentance, to come back to God. These people are prophets now, speaking forth the things of God. Women are doing this. Men are doing this. Leaders are doing this. Lay people are doing this. They have all received the Holy Spirit. And then in this miracle that the Holy Spirit has enabled them to speak different known languages. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God, the listeners declare. And the people are blown away by this. This isn't a miracle of hearing, which God could have done, but God empowered the speech to share the gospel across all of these languages so people could hear the good news in kind of their heart language, their native tongue. What we see happening here is the gospel is suddenly exploding and transcending all borders, all language barriers, all cultural obstacles. The gospel's going across. There are some holy books today that are not allowed to be translated because they might lose their meaning or their power or the fact that they believe they were written down in God's language. But God doesn't speak Greek or Hebrew. God's language can go across all of these languages without fear of being lost in translation, without fear of losing something in the transmission. This is the power of God. Do you see it? And it's going across. This is wonderful. This is not to be taken for granted. God wanted his witnesses to go to the end of the earth to tell all people this good news. And God enables his church to do the mission for which he calls them. In some sense, this is a reversal or an undoing of the Tower of Babel. If you remember there, everyone was trying to cling to one language and trying to be one people. But God's original design was for them to spread out. God's original design was for languages to develop and cultures and races. And here we see Babel is reversed or undone, not because they all start speaking the same language. They speak different languages. It's undone because now they're speaking different languages, but the people are in one accord. They're united even across all these different languages. And how are they united? By one truth, by one gospel, about one Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is all being done by the one Spirit. The Holy Spirit has allowed the gospel to break through all of these language barriers and cultural barriers to bring people together in Jesus Christ. The people are not united because of their powers or abilities. Do you remember at the Tower of Babel, people said, "Let us make a name for ourselves and build our tower up to the heavens." What is happening now is the people are saying, here we are united, let us promote the name of Jesus Christ. We don't need to build a tower to heaven because Jesus Christ has come to bring heaven to earth. Let us tell you about it. And they're united with that. God is glorified in Christ exalting unity in diversity. What we're seeing at Pentecost in some ways is not just the gospel breaking out, we're seeing a foretaste of what heaven is like. I'll leave you to read that this week. You can look at Revelation chapter 7, particularly verses 9 through 10, about what heaven looks like with people from every language united to talk about Jesus and his salvation together. Here's a great secret that our reeling country needs to know. The end of racism, the end of division is the gospel. It's the gospel. The great hope of unity and equality is the gospel that crosses all borders and goes to all people. But I know you still want to know and you need to know, but is this normative for today? This speaking in tongues, as we read through the book of Acts together, and as you read through all of Scripture by yourself, those are good kind of questions to ask. And I think here's a way to phrase it, to think about it. When you come across something like this, ask, is this talking about a specific incident, or is it universally applicable to all Christians across all time? Here's another way to phrase that. Is this descriptive, meaning it's describing reality and what happened? Is it descriptive or is it proscriptive, like a prescription the doctor gives you and you got to take it? Is it prescriptive, which means we have to do this as Christians? We're expected to do this. Is it descriptive or prescriptive? Is it telling us that we can expect this and we should demand that this happens? Or is it telling us that it happened? There are some denominations today that say to prove that you have the Holy Spirit, which really is to say to prove that you are saved in Jesus Christ, you must speak in tongues. But is that what this is teaching? Why are they speaking in tongues at all here? It's not to verify that they're saved. It's in order to share the gospel. It's in order to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given them. And what are they speaking? Clearly, they're speaking known languages. I don't know why, but it's almost never mentioned in all the heated talks about speaking in tongues. No one ever talks about people speaking in known languages. Do you ever hear that? I almost never hear people talk about that. I don't hear people desiring that. I don't hear people saying you must speak French or Mandarin or you're not saved. What's going on here is different than what Paul instructs on in 1 Corinthians 14, which we might call heavenly language. Speaking in tongues in an unknown language. That is very biblical. It's very possible. You can read in 1 Corinthians 14 about the purpose of that, the limitations on that. And just a quick aside while we're here. Please don't fall for YouTube pastors who try to throw some gibberish around while they're giving a message. If you're saying a point in a sermon and you suddenly say, shakarabana, that doesn't make your point. That doesn't make your point any godlier or any deeper or any cooler or any truer any more than suddenly if I start speaking in a British accent. And if these people are speaking in heavenly language, they are violating the clear instruction of the Bible that you can't speak in those unknown languages in a public worship without an interpreter. It's clear. There's nothing in the Bible that says all believers will or all believers have to speak in known languages or unknown languages. Both are possible. But both, neither is demanded. I was glad while I studied under Jack Hayford that he used his office as the head of the Four Square denomination to denounce this long-held position. The Four Square Church has said you must speak in tongues for verification. And he said, this isn't biblical. We don't see the apostles putting that demand on anyone in Scripture. We don't see it as normative or prescriptive. We don't see all believers in the New Testament exhibiting this gift. Is this repeatable? Is it possible? Surely. Our church here, we don't find a place in Scripture that says that God one day turned off the spiritual tap, so to speak, or that God suddenly limited His Holy Spirit and His work. The Spirit gifts and equips God's church as He sees fit for the purpose of Christ's mission. So God could surely do this today. I have personally heard of a few people that have spoken known languages suddenly that they didn't study, And get this, the people that told me that, it was always in the context of being on the mission field and sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel here, sharing the gospel somewhere else. I know I wish I had that gift when I studied Thai as a missionary living in Thailand and Los Angeles. But still, within a year, I was able to preach a sermon in Thai. It wasn't perfect. This sweet little old lady, after I got down on my first sermon, she had a note with all my mistakes to show me. And I said, well, I love you, sweet older sisters. Thank you. But people were still bewildered. How did you do this? And all I could say in Thai to them was, thank God, this was His enabling. God is enabling missionaries today to learn, to translate, to create written languages for people. The Spirit is enabling in many ways. And I can tell you what here is repeatable. I can share with you what you should expect as a believer in Jesus that is filled with the Holy Spirit. You can expect to be equipped according to the Spirit's wisdom and purpose. You can expect to receive gifts that enable you to accomplish God's mission that He has given you to His glory. I believe what you can expect from this is to be powerfully used by God for His purposes. Do you expect that today? What is happening here is people from all over the world are hearing God's message, and they're going to hear it with clarity, with truth, with conviction, with passion, with boldness. And the Holy Spirit, the same one, is going to move hearts to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Is that repeatable? Very much so. We trip over tongues. But the big miracle that we are just reading here, the great hope, is that God is still using ordinary people like us to do magnificently extraordinary things like share His gospel and many people being called to salvation. Do you know that? That is supernatural. That is repeatable. That brings us to verse 12 and 13, really the bridge to our next section. The Holy Spirit has come to these 120 believers. He's shown up, and we can see the effect that is happening. But the effect is not just on the 120 who are speaking, it's on their listeners as well. Look at the words. Everyone is astonished. They are amazed. They are perplexed, bewildered. What the gathered crowd heard was not just words in their own languages. They heard these people speaking about the one God, the Father and the Son, through the Holy Spirit, and they are blown away. So some of them are asking a very good gospel question. What could this mean? What could this mean? What does this mean for my life? What does this mean for my people? What does it mean for our world? What does this mean for my relationship with God? What does this mean for my identity and who I am? What could this mean for my soul? And others, the effect is they're mocking. What I find is so strange is because the 120 are not babbling. They're not speaking in an unknown language or an incoherent way. They're speaking known language. So why are people saying they are filled with new wine or sweet wine, which Peter is going to refute? Why do they say that? Regarding the gospel, I think, to my best understanding, the Bible says that in the last days there will be scoffers of God. I think what's happening is these men are trying to ease their spiritual anxiety and tension over what they're hearing by trying to find an easy way out to explain what is happening in front of them. Very often when you share the gospel, when the really plain reality comes out about who Jesus is, who we are, When I'm confronted with my sin, my heart is motivated to deny, to excuse, to work overtime, to try to find any way I can to discredit God's Bible, to discredit Jesus Christ, and to go on trying to hold on to my life. I'll do all sorts of things to try to explain away God so I can avoid the truth of the gospel. You ever heard anything silly like somebody looks at a completely ordered universe and they say, this must be like a random accident. There's no God. Have you ever heard anything silly like that come out of people's mouths? That's no sillier than what these people are saying right here. They're saying, we hear these people, we hear what they're saying. Must be that they're drunk. And they try to rationalize it and move on to hold on to their lives. This mocking also tells me one more thing as we go forth and witness the gospel. This is further proof that signs and miracles are not always convincing to everybody. Many of us say things in our own life, well, if I could see more signs or miracles, if God would show something to me, I would believe him more. And many of us will feel very naturally, if I could share the gospel and heal people, surely they would believe. But we see here right on the pages, an amazing miracle is happening, but these people are mocking. When Jesus resurrected at the end of the book of Matthew, it says he goes up on the mountain and out of the people that are looking right at him, the risen Jesus, some of them worshiped and some of them doubted and did not believe. He's standing in front of them. Remember that Jesus Christ, while doing miracles, the Pharisees not only didn't believe, they actually saw the miracles. And worse than saying he was drunk, they said he was filled with a devil. Sometimes even the miracles are not convincing to people. They need to be explained and they need to be received by God's power. And that's why Peter stands up. So take a look with me in verses 14 through 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Follow us for more podcasts. And if you'd like information about Grace River Church, you can find us at graceriver.life.